as Craig Button from TSN joins us. Well, really, I should just call him the pickleball. I see he's just challenging everybody to pickleball matches. So we'll see what happens when the quarantine's over, man. But don't start cashing checks at your pickleball racket. Can't deposit, if you know what I mean.
Well, who am I challenging?
Well, I saw Cheryl Pounder the other day, Scotty Upshaw. Like, you just keep, the list keeps growing.
I challenged Upshaw a long time ago. I have a new partner, just so you guys know, too. I have a brand new partner. I have a mixed doubles partner. That'll be Cheryl Pounder. She says her mother's a champion. She challenged me, but I told her she's going to be my partner against Upshaw, who I challenged a long time ago. But I think I got Shane O'Brien on my side. Shane O'Brien's a pickleball player. So you want to know something? Yeah, he is. And you want to know how you tell me you don't have to be tough to play pickleball? Tell that to Shane O'Brien. Yeah, go ahead.
I love it. Well, talking about tough, you know, it's Daniel Chara's 1,600 game regular season going to be tomorrow, which is amazing stat. But, you know, what was your thoughts when you, I'm sure you saw him play or scouted him at some point, when you first saw young Daniel Chara patrolling the blue line in Prince George?
Well, you know what, Jason? I saw him get into his first and second fight in the Western Hockey League. The first fight, it was in Kelowna. And, you know, he didn't fare so well. You know, he was awkward and he didn't have strength and balance and he was a little bit off. But, and you know, when, like, you know, hey, he was big, he was tall, he was rangy, he was European. And at that time, you know, it was, you know, they weren't, really, cheering for him in Kelowna, considering he was the visiting team. But later on in that game, he had a second fight. I think he sort of noticed that you don't want to mess with him because you talk about learning quick and learning on the job. Zdeno Chara learned real quick. It was one of those things where you just kind of go, hey, listen. And I think, Jason, I think we all, you know this. There's times where you go, hey, wait, I can do that. And I think the first part of that was is that Chara, you know, didn't know if he could do it. And then he realized, oh, I can do this. And, you know, I think one of the most fascinating things for me with Chara is, I mean, he was a third-round draft pick. You watched him. You saw him move around the ice. And he was a projection. There was no question he was a projection. But over time, and I'm talking a number of years, he just, every time you went and saw him again, he was better. And every time he was more assertive. And as he became better and he became more assertive, he also became more complete. And we all know, you know, what a force he was on the ice. It took him a little bit of time, but there was no question that he was a big force. And I saw it in the span of one game about how he could understand that force. And I don't think anybody wanted to mess with him too much. I don't think anybody was really, I got Charlie tonight. I got him.
Yeah, he's just a huge human being, incredibly strong, and like I think he knew he was so strong because you've seen him in fights sometimes where he had guys and he just could have crushed them, and he's like, nah, it's over. He had a lot of respect for his opposition. There's no question about it. And, you know, his former team, Craig, the Bruins are rolling. They've won six in a row. They're now 4 points out of first with the game in hand. There's 1 point separating Washington, Pittsburgh. The Penguins are rolling. And then you got the New York Islanders who, you know, goal scoring still their nemesis. But you look at that East Division, Craig. I've never in the history of the NHL has four teams been that close and might end up the season within 4 points of each other. Is there, do you like one of those four teams better than the others? And if so, who and why?
Well, you know, I really like the Islanders. I think they have, you know, all the elements of good, solid team play, and we've seen that the last number of years. And so what are other teams trying to do? What Boston tried to do is get more scoring into their lineup. I think they've done it. They've done it with the addition of Taylor Hall. They've done it by getting players into positions that they can handle a little bit better. You know, you look at lines, and I'm just going to – if you got Craig Smith and Krejci and Hall, and then you have Richie and Charlie Coyle and Jake DeBrusque, you know, coming behind that top line, that's three really good lines. And, you know, Charlie McAvoy is having a fantastic season. The goaltending's in good hands. So that's a team that's clearly improved. The Pittsburgh Penguins, I mean, it's about health and staying healthy. You know, Chris Letang is having a I think is going under the radar for how good he's played. Crosby, I don't, if you say he's under the radar, then you know, I don't know what you've been paying attention to the last, whatever, 16 years. But, you know, they're good teams. I may have said this last week on the show. I don't know if I did. I'm not buying Washington Capitals stock. I'm not. I don't like their chances against those three teams. But I think that Pittsburgh made some moves, adding Jeff Carter. Health will be a determining factor. Boston's a better team, and they're big and they're heavy. And the Islanders have shown that they can be a really good team. It's tight in there. You know, it looked for a little while like it looked like maybe the Rangers might have a shot at the fourth spot. It's clear cut the four teams are going to be in the playoffs from that division now.
Now, when you look at the West Division, you know, Vegas and Colorado are up there. Minnesota's putting up a good fight. But between those top two teams, is there one area that one team has, the other one doesn't? It could be maybe the separator through the rest of the regular season and, of course, the playoffs.
What I would say, Jason, is that the goaltending, I think, is a little more certain for the Vegas Golden Knights. You know, Vegas is a heavier team, and you know, they have a little bit more of that. Their defense is not anywhere near as fleet of foot as the Colorado Avalanche. And let's face it, I mean, when you got Rantanen and you got McKinnon, I mean, I love Mark Stone, but the high-end talent of those two guys and the way Rantanen and McKinnon drive things, like they drive as stars on their team. I don't think Vegas has that. But I think Vegas has a little more depth in their forward group. They're a little heavier, not fleet as foot on the blue line. And the goaltending, Vegas, I'd give them the edge.
Craig Button from TSN joins us. Craig, you look at the North Division, man. It's starting to heat up. You have Toronto and Winnipeg hammered each other. The Oilers and Montreal hammered each other. You know, the Flames, they're clinging to the ledge. They're going to have to sweep this weekend against Montreal to have any hope of making the playoffs. But we're starting to see that animosity rise a little bit, Craig. When you look at the makeup of those four teams, when the games change and become more physical, do you like any of Toronto, Montreal, Winnipeg, or Edmonton better because of it?
I think Montreal, but you know, Edmonton found a way to, you know, stay in the game, you know, and compete, and you're going to compete in different ways. The team that I like out of the four of them, the best is Winnipeg, because I think they can make you uncomfortable with their size. I think they're willing to push at you, but they can also make you uncomfortable with their speed and their skill. And you know, when I look at the goaltender in there, they got the best goaltender in my view. And so, you know, yeah, I know that their blue line isn't as good as other blue lines, but that's the team that can really, really make you change the way you want to play. They can force you into areas that make you uncomfortable, and they can do it like one after another, after another, after another. And I think when you get into the playoffs and it's about repetition, it's about first shift, second shift, third shift, fourth shift, rinse and repeat, rinse and repeat. I think the Jets have a real strong capability of being able to do that.
Joined by Craig Button, talking all things NHL. Craig, you know, let's say the playoffs would have been happening the last couple of games for the Oilers against Montreal. Is there a point, or how does a GM decide it's maybe time to come out and talk about, you know, there was some pretty heavy cross-checking being doled out by Shea Weber. And is there a point where a GM says, okay, I got to come up and say something, or how does that kind of, or is that conversation even happen between coach and GM?
Well, it happens between coach and GM. You know, when the playoffs start, Jason, there's a series supervisor. And so at the beginning of the series, you know, the manager, the supervisor sits down with the managers and the coaches of the respective teams. And, you know, what are you looking at? You know, here's how we want to do. Here's what you better be aware of. And usually each team is going to have one thing. You can't have a laundry list of things. Hey, watch for this. You try to pick out one thing that you want them to pay attention to and try to draw their attention to say, hey, watch for this. So if you're looking at it from, like, let's just use the example. Hey, Montreal's defense, they love to use the cross check. You know, and you think that that's important for the referees to pay attention to, that can take something away from your opponent and give you a little bit of an advantage, that's where you got to focus their attention. Okay. And that's where you want to focus their eyes. It's going to happen between games, too, where things happen. And, you know, I always believe that it, pick one thing. Don't try. I think teams run into problems and they want to try to say, oh, watch for these three or four things. No, no. Watch for one thing. And I think it's really important as you get there. And, you know, your coach during the game trying to emphasize that, hey, I sat down with the series supervisor up there this morning, and he said you guys were going to be watching this. You've missed it three times. So, you know, that, the reminders. But it's got to be kind of, you know, the seed has to be planted. It's got to be watered, you know, and you got to continue to tend to it. And I think that that's a really important part of it. And, you know, people say, oh, yeah, well, it doesn't make a difference. Yeah, okay. I don't know what the data is on it, but I do know this. Everybody's trying to find that edge. And however you're trying to find that edge in the playoffs, in tight games, it can give you just a little bump and take something away from your opponent. Everybody's looking for it. And to think that it doesn't have some type of impact, even if it's the smallest little thing, it's still an impact. And it does. It does factor in.
One last one for you, Craig. When you look at the Edmonton orders, and you know they go back to the Draisaitl, Nugent Hopkins, Yamamoto line, McDavid's with Puljujarvi's been there pretty much the most of the season, at least since February anyway. There's a left-wing spot wide open, and they've got guys like Dominic Cahoon and Tyler Ennis, and while James Neal's not really in condition, unfortunately, you know, maybe Josh Archibald. You know, they don't have that. So what do you think the orders – you just rotate from game to game? Do you think there's one guy that can fill that spot, or maybe it's Ryan McLeod, you know, in a few games if he gets his beak wet and looks okay in the NHL. Like that, it seems like an odd spot, but Sidney Crosby did it for years where they kind of just put somebody with him and Kunitz, you know, they just found somebody who could contribute.
Ooh, boy. Chris Kunitz on line two. Just put somebody with him, like Kunitz.
No. I said they just put somebody with Kunitz and Crosby. Yeah. They were the duo, and they just put a third guy with him.
Dupuis was pretty bloody good. Dupuis was pretty good.
Yeah, okay, but he was not a considered big score.
You better be able to think at the same level as Connor McDavid. Okay, that's the key thing. Kunitz and Dupuis could take at the same level as Connor McDavid. Listen, Ryan McLeod's a really good skater. He's got size to him. He doesn't think the game at the offensive level of Connor McDavid. So can you plug him in there for a shift, a period, a game? Maybe a couple? Yeah, you can. You can plug anybody in. But what you're trying to do is maximize, not only Connor McDavid, who's going to maximize the strength of your team to even a greater extent. You know, that's what you got to do. I said this a long ago. I said it in February. I said the best guy to play with Connor McDavid was Dylan Holloway. It's unfortunate he broke his thumb, because I think that that would have been the guy that would have been perfect with Connor McDavid. They don't have him available. That's the way it goes. So you're going to have to mix and match it. You can throw Ryan McLeod in there. You can throw Ennis in there. You can throw Archibald, Cahoon, whoever you want to do it. But I can tell you what, none of the guys I just mentioned are a permanent fit with Connor McDavid, in my view.
Yeah, no, I would agree. And I wasn't saying Kunitz is the added. I've always said Kunitz was better than people think. Too many think he was only good because he got with Crosby. No, I was just saying that Puljujärvi and right now McDavid are like a duo. And they would, because Dupuis did play there for, I think he had two really good seasons with them, on that top line. But even he would be kind of games. And then, you know, like Brian Rust got thrown up there. And all of a sudden for 3 weeks, Brian Rust was looking like an elite scorer. And now it's obviously Crosby and Gensel. And then whoever plays with them is kind of the other guy. It seems like it's hard to find a trio.
Yeah, and it may be. So what you're trying to do is find, okay, what brings out the best in your best player, your best two players. And Pascal Dupuis was heavy, he was quick, and he was smart. And Brian Rust is a 20-goal scorer. He's a 25-goal scorer in this league. And, you know, those are good players, Jason. And, you know, I know what you're trying to say, but Rust and Gensel and Dupuis were you don't get to play with Sidney Crosby for a long period of time and get those opportunities by not being a good player. And
yeah, well, no,
maybe
Gensel's great.
But they're good players.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Brian, hey, Pascal Dupuis was a really good player with Sidney Crosby. A really good player.
Yeah, it's a tough one. I think that, you know, moving into the summer, that's something they have to address. And it's yes. difficult because, you know, Dylan Holloway, you know, but it's you know, I said it to Greg the other day, is that you're starting to get to the point where you can identify, like right now, if you could find a left winger to fit that spot, everyone gets slotted down. It's a better, it's way easier, right?
Yeah.
But if it's hard to do it mid-season. So I feel like the Oilers, I don't know what you think, but the holes, they might not be as many, but they might be in some ways harder to fill.
Well, they're harder to fill, like if you're looking outside and you're waiting on somebody. Again, and you're right, Jason. Like, you know, like I think any manager will tell you, if you're trying to fill in your roster, you know, from forwards 8 to 12 or 8 to 13, it's a lot easier than trying to find those guys. And when you're trying to find fits for Draisaitl and McDavid, Crosby, that's hard to do. And sometimes you stumble across something. I'm not going to suggest that you can't stumble across something that you never even thought of. And, you know, one of the big things with Mike Sullivan was, you know, when they brought him up to Pittsburgh, he had had all these guys in the minors. He saw Brian Rust. So he was way more open because he had an experience with those guys, and he said, I'll try that. So that's another factor, too. But you know, when I've seen Dylan, I think Dylan's a really strong center. But I think he's going to find his way, certainly at the beginning of his career, on the left wing. Because when you have McDavid and Draisaitl, like it just seems like a perfect fit. And I know Dylan can play there. And I know Dylan can contribute in the areas that are important, whether it's to Leon or to Connor, because he's big, he's powerful, he's fast, he can finish, he can make plays, and, you know, he can think at the same level as those guys. And that's the key. Good players get frustrated when they need the puck in a spot. And you know, it's not just about skating or size. If those players can't get the puck when they need it, it's not going to work. It never is. And the good players, the top-end players, need the puck when they demand it. And if you don't have players that can think and get the puck to them, I don't care how fast you skate, I don't care how big you are, never going to be a long-term fit.
Well,
not
Craig,
even going to be a very long of a short-term fit.
Yeah, what one free agent who I think will get some from interest a lot if he gets to the market, because I don't know if they can sign him, is Zach Hyman from the Toronto Maple Leafs, because he's a guy who's proven he can play with skilled players. No problem.
Jason, I think that Zach Hyman is an incredibly valuable player. You know, I was lucky. I was around Yari Lehtinen for years, and trust me, Yari Lehtinen was as valuable a player as we had in Dallas as any one of our other players. And I think Zach Hyman is very similar in where he fits into the Toronto Maple Leafs.
Craig, as always, good to catch up with you, man. Enjoy your pickleball practice this week. We'll talk to you next Friday.
I don't know. Listen. The courts are a little slippery with the recent snow. I'm not going to go risk it.
Smart. Very, very smart. Thanks, Craig. We appreciate it.
Okay, thanks. Talk to you later.